Hello, it's Father Jim. I've been making noises about our Lord's prayer book, the Psalms, which is given to us to join him in his prayer to the Father. And the Psalms are most beautiful poetry, usually done in parallelisms that I explained. And it covers all sorts of things: praise of God, thanksgiving, petition, special psalms for the temple. But one of the important themes in the scriptures is the idea of shepherds. Originally, they had to travel, before they had their holy land, between water holes, because sheep can't go very far, unlike camels, you know, they can't cross the desert. So water holes were very important. And when you reached a water hole, normally you made sure the sheep got some drink too. Ezekiel accuses the people at the time of barging in, butting each other with their rumps like the sheep, muddying the waters for those who are coming after. It's priceless. And eventually, when they settled in their promised land, they were asking, well, we've never stayed anywhere long enough, because we were always on the move, according to the seasons. We've never stayed anywhere much to plant crops. So will you show us how to plant crops, please? So as well as the meat, we're going to have some veg. And so the local Canaanites showed them how to plant crops. To start with, the Israelite people were halfway up the hill where the sheep would graze, and the Canaanites were in the valleys where they sowed crops. Jewish religion could have got contaminated, and sometimes was, by Canaanite religions, where there was a lord of each acre of land called a Baal, and a female goddess, who, if they had a good mating in the winter, gods and goddesses, that would make Mother Earth fruitful. And so their gods needed coaxing into action by human sexual activity in the sacristy, more or less. And so people would go to the top of the mountain where the Canaanite temples were, and saying to the Jews, do you want a bit of slap and tickle in the sacristy? But they realized that their Israelite God didn't need human activity to spur them into action. Their God was supreme. So there was always a temptation for Jewish religion to be turned into idolatry. But you've got these two themes of bread and lamb. And eventually these two feasts were made one. Feast of Unleavened Bread in the spring, when the first barley loaves were offered to God, hoping for a good wheat harvest 7 weeks later. That's Pentecost, 50 days later. And so you got the Feast of Passover Lamb, and Unleavened Bread became one. And our Lord obviously loved the idea of a shepherd. Now in England, where there's lots of rain, especially in the northwest where I was at a boarding school, there are stone fences, fields with made up of stones. And I've seen a shepherd pushing his bicycle behind the sheep, because the sheep dogs took them from one enclosure into another. And the shepherd pushing his bicycle to stop the traffic mowing them all down. But in the Holy Land, where water was not so frequent, and by the way, sheep don't like drinking from running water, they're frightened of it, they had to find pools. So a good shepherd didn't walk behind pushing his bicycle, he had to lead his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Because our God is a good shepherd. No wonder our Lord referred to himself as the good shepherd. In Psalm 23 we hear, in meadows of green grass he lets me lie. Well, you had to go quite a way to find meadows of green grass. To the waters of repose he leads me, and there he revives my soul. So we had to find a pool. He guides me by paths of virtue for the sake of his name. And there were spooky places around Jerusalem, the Vale of Gehenna. They burnt the rubbish there, and people didn't really like going there alone. But a good shepherd has the confidence of his sheep that they'll follow him. Though I walk through a gloomy valley, I fear no harm. Beside me, your rod and your staff are there to hearten me. I remember at Christmas, singing the lovely carol, while shepherds watch their flocks by night. Well, how can shepherds watch their flocks by night? They've walked to Egypt, because there aren't any gates and fences. So when they arrived at a new pasturing area, with the stones that litter the Holy Land, they'd make a pen. And the good shepherd would stand at the entrance to the pen and inspect the sheep as they went in. He let the healthy ones in. Those that were damaged or torn their mouth on thorns or lame, he'd push back with his rod, his staff. Then he'd have a sick parade. He'd look after the sick ones and then let them in. And then the good shepherd and others would be sitting outside with a fire to keep wild animals away and to keep warm, playing their bagpipes. And that's the theme of Christmas, shepherds watching their flocks by night. There is the most beautiful piece of music, the Shepherd's Song, from The Infancy of Christ by Berlioz. Oh, they're singing congratulatory noises to Mary and Joseph, and then they play little pieces on their bagpipes in between the verses. It's really very beautiful. Berlioz, The Infancy of Christ. You prepare a table before me under the eyes of my enemies. There was a certain leaf in the Holy Land, a bit like a dock leaf, that when it's living is poisonous, but if you cut it, let it dry out on stones, it becomes nutritious. So the Good Shepherd brings good out of evil. Like preparing a table before me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup brims over. Oh, how goodness and kindness pursue me every day of my life. My home, the house of Yahweh, as long as I live. Those lovely little cuckoo clock houses in Switzerland. I presume in the winter the animals were brought in. It's probably what's now the garage, a sort of basement-type place under the cuckoo clock house. And in Israel, which the houses were carved out of the soft, beautiful pink limestone, in the basement there was a sort of cave where the animals were kept. And in Nazareth you can see, under the Church of the Nativity, a little area with little sort of mangers and places where animals could feed. And so the Christmas story, Mary and Joseph turn up in Bethlehem. Sorry, all full, no rooms, no bathroom suites, absolutely full up. But I can see the lady is pregnant. Maybe you could nestle down with the animals underneath the house. So the good shepherds came then to welcome, though they didn't realize it at the time, the good shepherd. Now, I don't know whether shepherds know each sheep by name. I used to know a farmer who knew all his cows by name. He used to say, "Oh, that's Daisy, that's Brindle. I know them all." But our Lord was an amazing person. He said if he had 100 sheep and one was missing, he'd notice it. Wow, what sensitive eyes. I'd have to line them up in threes. And three, three, all numbers, as we used to say in the army. Number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But the good shepherd has eyes that notices one missing and will leave the safe ones and go after the one that's missing. Well, I tell you, I don't think I'd give that good shepherd a good reference. It's highly irresponsible to leave 99 and go after one. But our Lord's love is totally irresponsible. It's absolutely marvellous. And he'll find it and bring it home, rejoicing because one that was lost has been found. So I hope you'll enjoy Psalm 23, because it must have inspired our Lord to realise what an amazing thing it is to be a good shepherd. Amen.